It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters, and welcome to another edition of the Coming Out Lounge. It's time for you to step out of that closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into being truthfully who you are. And today, I'm bringing somebody that some of you are going to probably scratch your head and go, okay, what does this have to do with coming out? So let me tell you this. This guest is a quirky, somewhat irreverent, thoughtful, thought-provoking entrepreneur who I am totally proud to call one of my buds. He has probably found more ways than 100 to create really cool environments of helping people feel like they belong. And through doing some stuff that most of our mothers tried to instill in each and every one of us, and that's the concept of sharing. He's a big sharing, open-hearted guy. He's genuine, open-minded, and he is a speak-from-your-heart kind of guy that I love to be around. His name is Chris Brogan. He is one of those New York Times best-selling kind of guys who actually refuses to let that go to his head. And he's also had some dates with the likes of Dr. Phil, Tony Robbins, and most recently wore the beautiful crown as one of the must-follow marketing minds of 2014. So as you can tell, he's a diva in his own right, a strong ally to the LGBT community, a Batman fanatic, a kick-ass dad, and a guy who has come out so many ways in his own life out of his own closets during his journey on planet Earth. Please welcome to the podcast my buddy Chris Brogan.
Wow, I can't. That's like the best intro I ever had. Like, I don't even think I can live up to this. We should just hang up.
Okay, let's hang up. We're done. Oh, yeah, we're going to come out and admit we have just blown Chris Brogan's mind. There's my first tweet. I just blew Chris Brogan's mind with my intro of who he was. So
I'm out.
Yeah. You're out, man. So, hey, you've just come out again. So anyway, cool, man. So we met a couple of, probably 6 weeks ago, met officially for the first time, but I actually had the privilege of writing a couple of guest blogs for you years and years ago, but we met at Heroic Public Speaking with Michael Port a few weeks ago, and suddenly here we are courting and dating on a podcast. Pretty cool stuff.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it too, man. So, and you know, the reason, Chris, we had talked about having you on here was because suddenly as we're discussing, we start getting into the conversation about all the different things that people come out of and go through. And I thought this could be a really fun discussion. So to kick it off, bro, here's what I want to ask you is, out of everything you've done in your life, has it ever felt like sometimes you're just standing in a closet going, I really want to make this happen, but I just don't know how to make it come to life? Have you ever been in that place?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny. I loved your method of introduction because, I mean, I think sometimes probably just because of the nature of humanity, you know, we think we're the only one who has the right to a particular closet. You know, the LGBT closet is just one of a series of places. You know, I think about the in no way am I ever trying to compare any of my journey or struggle to what it means, you know, to have a sexual preference that may or may not match the people around you or whatever. Like, I know that that's just such a huge challenge. But I mean, even from way back a million years ago, when I was thrilled in the land of, you know, being a guy playing Dungeons and Dragons in a school full of people who thought that was horrible,
right?
You know, you know, that was that kind of feeling, just a different way. You know what I mean? Like, I was definitely not part of the mainstream. I was definitely not, you know, to be really nerdy back when I was nerdy was not as cool as it evidently is today, you know? And I think that There's been a lot of situations like that since. I mean, in professional business, I was always having this horrible feeling of like, oh, I better try to fit in. Like, I better not be who I really am, because it's clear that no one is on board with that.
Right.
And so over a lot of time, you know, it's taken me a long part of my life to sort of be at that place where it's like, you know, when I am old, I shall wear purple. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think I'm a lot more there now. I think I'm a lot more willing to be exactly who I am, you know, good, bad, or otherwise.
And, well, and that's part of the reason I wanted you on the show. Yeah. Was because I know this about you. I know this is part of who you are, is you just being who you are. That's what's so important to you in your daily, wherever you are, whether you're standing on stage in front of thousands or when, if you're just interacting with, you know, someone on the street. What is important to Chris Brogan is I'm just going to be me, plain and simple.
Right. And I mean, never ever to the intent that, you know, I never want to necessarily make someone feel especially uncomfortable or anything like that. But I think that we've just, you know, so much of our lives, everybody's lives, has been pushed into we better fit in or we better do what everyone else around us is doing kind of a thing. And I guess I've just had my fill. So at this point, I do a lot of things to show people, you know, professionally in your business sense, how can you do that? And that's why I wrote an entrepreneurship book called The Freak Shall Inherit the Earth. I mean, profession-wise, that book could have also been called Please Don't Hire Chris Brogan for a Corporate Speech, because that's what happened. But yeah. I get lots of letters from moms and stuff like that that say that their son or their daughter is a weirdo, and, you know, this is the first time they've seen something that really spoke to what their interests were. And that is worth everything to me. That's the best.
Absolutely. And I think this is the piece that I always try to, you know, bring forth, you know, when I'm working with somebody in this arena of coming out, which isn't just the gay and lesbian community. I work with people that are stuck in their crappy jobs and going, okay, I really want to come out of this crappy job, but man, you know, I've gotten so comfortable on the comfy couch of life that how am I going to do this? It's being able to see that these things we want to do, it's okay, and having that kind of support and backing to say, just go for it. Just go be who you are and let it be known that this is who you are and you're okay with it. And if other people don't happen to be okay with it, sometimes that's okay. And sometimes it may be okay to the point of then those people aren't meant to be in your life. So I love that piece. So what is a real challenge thing that you see in the entrepreneurial world that really kind of holds people in those closets of stepping fully into being those entrepreneurs they're meant to be?
Well, you know, I think one of the things is that we all humans, you know, really work well with modeling. Like, we like to look at other people and try to be that way with other people. You know, we try to say, oh, well, I guess I have to be like a Gary Vaynerchuk, or I've got to be like a Bob Berg, or any of these, you know, people out here. And you don't always necessarily see yourself in it. Like, you know, my eighth grade friend, Doug Quint, he and his partner, Brian, so he was working as a professional musician in the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. And his job was to play bassoon or whatever. And I guess they get their summers off. And he decided, hey, you know what would be kind of fun is to open up an ice cream truck. And Doug said, being Doug, he looked around at what the options were and he said, man, these are all kind of lame looking. I think I'll make my own ice cream and I'll make my own, you know, truck and my own style and all that. So he launches the Big Gay Ice Cream Truck. and it is an immediate success because they have incredibly delicious, tasty ice creams. Like, they have a chocolate ice cream sandwich wrapped in bacon called the Choink Witch. they have a beautiful dish called the Bee Arthur. Wow. Just like, you know, really fun things. And with you know, all the fun flair that you could add for being a very creative person who is also gay.
All right.
And so the truck, of course, anybody gay in New York sees it and goes, oh my God, I have to go there. But all of a sudden, you know, people who aren't identifying with being gay love the flavors, love the food. And now it's not just a truck. It's, you know, there's two or three restaurants in New York and another one in LA. And I think they're working on Philadelphia and they've got a book. But Doug is one of those entrepreneurs who doesn't see himself in that story. You know, if you look a book on entrepreneurship out of the library, it's two white guys shaking hands across the table.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's not our crowd. So what I've been trying to do the last bunch of years is say to people, you know, you might not fit in because of the stereotypes that exist, but it doesn't mean you're not one of us. I had an 82-year-old lady say, you know, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm in this assisted living home and I just kind of feel like, you know, my time is up. And I was like, what are you talking about? You're 82. You got like 30 more years. You better get back to work. And so she started working on it. But, you know, she really literally is starting to help all these other people that have surfaced saying, I'm 60 something and I don't think I should be an entrepreneur anymore. And I said, meet my friend Kara, she's 82. So she's helping, you know. So I think that's the work that can get done, Rick. I think that there's so much to do to help people find where they belong, yeah, as opposed to what they've been doing all along, which is say, well, I guess this is what I am, and sort of slotting yourself in somewhere.
Right. And I'm glad you shared. I love that story about the ice cream oven, and especially the story about your 82-year-old friend, because I think the key here is seeing yourself in that vision. You have to see yourself in that world, in that life. And it's one of the first exercises I have pretty much every client go through, whether they're coming out of the closet, whether they're going through a divorce, whatever it may be. Maybe they're starting their own business. Maybe they are starting to dip their toe in the pond of entrepreneurship and it's kind of chilly and cold and they go, okay, maybe that's not where I'm supposed to be. But what I have them do is actually, you have to see yourself in that. You have to see yourself, mm-hmm, as a gay man. You have to see yourself as a lesbian. You have to see yourself as a divorcee. You have to see yourself as that entrepreneur, because until you can actually envision that, it doesn't have to be perfect. Okay, in my world, perfect doesn't work. Perfect is just something we try to attain, which I think is kind of crazy at times that that's what we try to attain. But when you can actually begin to envision what you might look like, and not just, okay, so I'm a gay guy and I'm out and I'm going to the bars and I'm trying to date guys and whatever this is, that the vision. No, go deeper. What does it look like in your work life? What does it look like in your family life? What does it look like when you wake up in the mornings? You know, what does this look like as you encompass each and every piece of it? So cool. Rock on. I love that stuff. So you have this beautiful way of just speaking truths to people and being really known for coming from some very interesting perspectives about life in general. And I'm going to throw something at you because I know I can throw something at you. And we have not rehearsed any of this, so Chris and I are just jamming here today. But what I want to throw at you is, if someone is in that space of, okay, I think I want to do this, and the next time you see them, they say, I think I want to do this. And then the next time you see them, they say, I think I want to do this. Obviously, we know by now they're stuck. I see this all the time with clients. I think I want to come out. I think I want to come out. I think I want to come out. It's no different than an entrepreneur saying, I think I want to start a business. I think I want to do this. What it would be some Chris Brogan wisdom to help them break through that, I think I want to do this mode?
Well, I loved your idea earlier about, you know, making sure people visualize things, because I had a really great piece of business advice from an old mentor of mine, Dan Carney. Dan said, nothing ever happens with the drama with which we think it will. And he meant about work, because I was, mm-hmm, talking about this, you know, this new boss had showed up, and he wasn't my direct boss, but he was above Dan and myself and a few other people. And he just was, you know, he just was a horrible fit for the culture at this wireless company I was working at. And I was just like, oh, I can't deal with this guy. And I just kept saying to Dan, I just don't know what's going to come down. I don't know what's going to go. You know, he says, just nothing ever happens with the drama, which, mm-hmm, you think, well, you know, it's going to have. And it's just a great mantra, because so coming out, there's usually, you know, a couple of three different things that are going to happen. Everyone's going to go, duh, we already knew.
Right.
Or they're going to be like, oh, you're horrible and I'm disowning you, which is an outcome. Or it could be, oh, all right, well, what's that look like? You know, and then everyone just kind of figures it out. There's not many other variations on the theme, even though everyone's story is unique and everyone's, mm-hmm, story has its own problems and challenges. And, you know, do you already have kids or not? That whole thing. But I think that once you go through the visualization that you mentioned, the next thing is, and then what? Like, what does that look like?
Yep.
You know, what's life like? I'm out, now what? Because, I mean, in movies, the movie ends after the person comes out or something, or the movie ends after the right piece of drama. But life, it turns out, you know, keeps going. And so what's life look like for you thereafter?
Absolutely. And I'm sitting here kind of laughing behind the scenes here as you're saying this, because I was going through my own head going, okay, so you come out and say you're going to be an entrepreneur, and the first thing somebody's going to say is, duh, that's what we always thought you were going to do. You're never going to work for corporate man. Other people are going to go, that's a horrible idea. You need to just stay. So they're going to reject you because of it. Or people are going to say, okay, so cool. So what does that look like? It's these interesting parallels that we kind of box this quote coming out story into. It's all about the gay and lesbian stuff. But when we start to become human, really human and say, come play in my sandbox with me. Come play in my coming out sandbox and let's see what we can learn from each other. I happen to be gay and I'm coming out. You happen to be an entrepreneur. You happen to be a divorcee. And you happen to be a cancer survivor. Let's all kind of play in the sandbox of coming out and let's share what we've learned through these journeys. I guarantee you right. So much of it's going to be the same. Same
Rick,
energies,
it's
everything.
Very much like that. I was just at this event in Denver, and in the experience, this woman says to me, it was the weirdest thing. She's like, she kept saying sentences and then tilting her head in this weird way that said, are you going to say something bad at me right now? Like her body language basically said, every time she'd say something, you know, are you going to call BS on me?
Right.
Which, by the way, most of us feel that way, especially around something like coming out.
Right.
You know, like the last thing we want to do is like say our story and then have someone go, oh yeah, or that's baloney. But she says to me, you know, I'm a motivational speaker. And then she pauses to see if I think that's stupid. And then she says, I also lost my husband and my daughter to a horrible car accident. And then she pauses to look at me like, what am I going to do with this info? And then she says, and I also just got over this, you know, horrendous injury, you know, a sickness or whatever. And then the same thing. And all I kept thinking was, I think that's all of us. Like, I think all of us, when we try to say our little identity shift, you know, we're staring at everyone else going, what are they going to say? And ultimately, we're really only the main character in our own story anyway. We're just a bit part in everyone else's story. And we have to remember that sometimes. We have to remember that our story isn't as interesting, except for in the how does this apply to my life question that comes shortly after someone reveals some new piece of detail. And right. I know that sounds a little bit callous, and I know that sounds a little bit cold, but that is kind of the math for a lot of what goes on in our life. If you tell your aunt, hey, aunt such and such, I'm transgendered. I'm going to work. You know, remember that Bruce Jenner story? That's me. You know, they're going to say, oh, well, so what do I call you now?
Right.
Like it's going to be so utterly different than what you are going through with all the depth of your concern that you have to remember that that you're the hero in your own story, but you're going to have to tell this story in a way that makes them understand what you want them to be in this story too.
Well, and the story piece of this is, and the drama, I love how you brought that drama piece up, is we do create the drama. And, you know, I remember when I moved into my neighborhood here when my kids were both young. I think my youngest was just getting ready to start kindergarten. My oldest was starting third grade. And I was already a work-at-home, you know, guy. I had been working from home for probably 3-4 years. That was actually about the time that you and I first connected and I started writing a couple of blog posts for you. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go be kind of cool dad. Let's go do some stuff at school, right? Let's go be in the school classrooms with people. And I thought, okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this and just be the guy that's, you know, happens to be the work at home dad? I walk in, first time I was there, me and all the, and I'm not saying this to, you know, as a derogatory comment, me and all the soccer moms, you know, here we are. I'm the only guy in the room, right? And we start cutting up whatever we're cutting and, you know, getting stuff ready for the kids. And the next thing I hear is, so what did you and your wife do this weekend?
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of let the pause sit for a moment. And I said, well, my partner and I went down to Temecula and we went wine tasting. And I just kept going. And the next thing I heard was, oh, that's cool. We love wine tasting too. Well, interestingly enough, because I didn't create the drama, there was no drama. They just kind of embraced me. And this creating drama piece, yes, there's going to be some people who are going to take what you say and go, okay, I can't deal with that because you're going to be an entrepreneur or you're coming out or da-da-da, and they're going to incite the drama. What we get to choose is whether we want to step into the drama, and we also get to choose whether we want to create the drama simultaneously. So very cool stuff. So to you, I always ask this question almost every time we do this, but for you, what does coming out really mean to you? If somebody said, describe coming out, the Chris Brogan version of coming out, what does that mean?
It's a beautiful question. I love it because I think that it is open to a lot of different interpretations. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, I think what it really means is just really finally being comfortable enough in who I am and what I am that I don't especially even need to defend any aspects or elements of who I am or what I am. But, you know, that I adjust the world accordingly
right.
to make it match what I am.
Right.
There's a real difference between you know, and again, believe me, I know that there's a lot of people fighting for the rights to, you know, have equal treatment under the law and all those sorts of things. And I'm not in any way identifying, you know, that that's no big deal. What I'm saying is that on the mindset and kind of execution standpoint of what I do and what I think about it, is that I'm ready to make the world work the way I need it to work, mm-hmm. as opposed to trying to fit into what the world's already laid out for me. That's absolutely. The difference.
It is. And I think this is, you know, I love my community. I mean, my gay and lesbian community, I love them to death. I'm all in for the things we're fighting for. But at times I think we get to a space where we think it's only our journey. And the thing is no, everybody on this planet is having the same journey. We're all trying to hit happiness. We're all trying to feel fulfilled. We're all trying to be seen and heard. Which means, and in doing all those things, we're all coming out. We're all coming out to say, notice me, embrace me, love me, care for me, all these different things. And I get it that this term has been coined for our community, but it's time to open those arms a little bit and go, and let's just all realize we're all on the same path together. We're all doing it. We're not all that special. Yes, we may have a different sexual orientation. We may look through a different lens on life, but in reality, every one of us is looking through a different lens on life.
Agreed. I have the strong opinion that, you know, another of the problems, and again, it comes back to, very specifically, I think it comes back to the notion of how many people are really dealing with the mechanics of everything. The whole, you know, everybody, like what it takes to make the struggle real for you. So, I mean, it's a lot harder right now for LGBT, you know, just watching and seeing sort of the after ripples of this whole Bruce Jenner story has been interesting insofar as, you know, realizing just how much there is still to go, you know, with that, you know, things like gender reassignment type stories and all that. But I mean, to your point and to open it up, once it feels, and I'm so terrified I'm going to get hate mail, but let me say it the way I'm saying it. Maybe people will think I have good intentions. Once it feels like it's no big deal, like it's just one of those things that all humans are suffering with in some way, which is what you're saying, I think that's where it gets better. Like I think once, you know, it's not lessening what it means to come out for an LGBT person. It's opening the concept up to say that, you know, I don't know, a Democrat in Texas – in their own way sort of feels like they're coming out.
Right.
Or that, you know.
It's so true.
Here's another example. I'm a parent, right? And I have two kids. And when my now ex-wife and I were parenting together, we both had shaved heads and black clothes and combat boots. Mm-hmm. And we would show up at the playground. And guess what? No one would talk to us.
Like, right.
They wanted to be 100 feet away from us. And so we had to basically fit in. Like we had to dress like mom and dad. Otherwise, we weren't going to get to talk to any other parents. And not that I could have cared about talking to parents, but I wanted my kid to be able to integrate. So, I you know, that was me coming out, you know, going back into a closet. I was like, oh, evidently I have to look a certain way to play with their kids. So to me, Rick, I think there's just lots of opportunities like that still to be had.
There is. And, you know, it's interesting because I speak for PFLAG. I speak on a speakers bureau out here in California, and we go to colleges and universities and do a lot of speaking. And it still always amazes me that even the younger generation isn't aware of, it's not so much about being gay or lesbian, it's the pieces of that journey that are keeping the equality at bay. It's the pieces that until you were able to get married, we didn't have 1,135 rights that another married couple would have just by saying, I do. It's the piece of, you know, equality is equality. That means, you know, and I'm talking to the choir when I bring up these things, but a lot of people don't realize that to be able to walk into a hospital with that person you care about and say, I'm making their decisions, that is a huge, huge, huge thing to be able to say, that's my peep, that's my person, that's my love, that's my heart, laying there in that bed, and I'm going to make those decisions for them. And what's so interesting to your point about, you know, the playground thing, when I go and speak at these colleges and universities, one of the questions we always bring up is, how many of you know a gay or lesbian? Well, tons of hands go up. Tons of hands go up. But then when I take and ask the next question, and how many of you know a transgender person? There's a very small handful of those. Now,
yeah.
3 years ago, 4 years ago when I was doing this, the first question about gay and lesbian, there was small handfuls. Now that evolution has begun. And to your point of, you know, when we reach that point where it feels like we're done, that's when it is going to get better. I realize now in my speaking when I'm doing those gigs, when I see the hands raised about gay and lesbian, it's kind of like, okay, we're almost kind of done here. Now let's go do the next wave. Let's bring the transgender conversation into play. Let's bring the gender variant, you know, the kids who are, you know, kind of doing the gender fluid thing. Here we go. We're on to the next wave. And so this is always where we're going to be when we're talking about these coming out journey sort of stories. So cool stuff. So really, shaved head and black combat boots, that was you, man? I didn't see any of those pictures.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was an interesting time in life, but I've always sort of bucked the what I'm supposed to look at
kind of
rule, but it never mattered before. Like, it never mattered what I looked like until I had a kid, and then I was like, oh crap, I guess, you know, they might want to have play friends.
Right.
So, you know, now I'm back to looking like a weirdo, but it's because, you know, my kids.
So, but I'm curious, is that piece of not honoring yourself and, you know, the black combat boots and shaved head, is that piece feel like you're jilting yourself out of being yourself? Or is it just a matter of, okay, here's who I'm going to be for now to get through this part of life? What is it for you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. And again, I mean, the last thing I ever want to do is have somebody, you know, try to think that I'm trying to compare these two things. But what I am saying is that, you know, I think we all go through some level of having to, you know, wear the sheep's clothing for a while, or or choosing, you know, having that choice in front of us. Let's not say that we have to, but we choose to. In my case, you know, it wasn't enough of my identity that I cared. Like, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't like, you know, will shave my head or die kind of guy. I just thought, yeah, whatever. But I mean, I did feel, and I still feel that there's just so much, you know, there's so much pressure in all sides to homogenize. I mean, that's really, I think, what it really is. I think on a whole sociological level, like nothing to do with political reasons or anything. I think that we just want things to make simple, easy sense, and we want everything to fit into a box. And so when these moments like transgender or anything like that come up, that's where the mess is that our head just kind of goes, I don't know what to do with this information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where all these weird complexities of life happen. So, you know, parents who dress like criminals, maybe, you know, in some people's view, maybe that's, you know, something just a little too hard for them to process. So they sure wanted to have to throw me in a box. So I don't know. I think what I've come to learn is, I don't know, I guess I've always thought, you know, use their weapons against them.
Right.
So they'll never see me coming if I'm dressed like them.
Right.
And then I can be subversive. But, you know, I guess that's probably my strange youth encroaching on my grown-up years.
But I love this because there's this thing that I'm starting to work in and develop as I'm working on a speech that I'm going to do where I honor the scientific findings that 99.99% of our DNA as humans is identical. But it's this 0.1 that is the thing that makes us each unique. And in this conversation of coming out, when we come out to stand in our point, what I call the point oneness, it is the beauty. It is the kicker. It is the thing. It's the coconut that breaks open. It's the pinata that all the candy flows out of. It's the home run that you become when you allow yourself to fully embrace and hold that point oneness in your hand and say, this is me. This is my truth. This is who I'm meant to be. And as you were talking about the combat boots and everything, I'm like, well, that's just a part of his point oneness, you know, and then who you have become, you know, in your own right as this kick-ass, you know, blogger type guy and now owner media and all this stuff. It's just, this is the point oneness of who Chris is. It's that beautiful piece of you that each of us has. Every one of us has our full library of point oneness. The question comes down to, are you using it? Are you honoring it? Are you embracing your point oneness to be truly who you are? And yes, my point oneness includes, oh, Rick happens to be gay. That's part of Rick's unique point oneness DNA. But there's so much more that Rick is that is still uniquely Rick. And I think that's a really powerful space to start to take people to. It's like, guess what? These differences that we see, they're the beautiful point oneness of our unique abilities to be truly who we are in this life.
I smell a book and a website myself. But, you know.
Well, I'm starting to drop this in. Yes, this whole thing is getting developed right now. So, But it's all really cool. So sounds like we're getting buzzed already that time's getting close to being up. But, you know, as we get to start wrapping this stuff up, one of the things I always have admired about you, Chris, is that you have always given yourself the space to really take those leaps of faith and just go be who you are. So where does that come from for you? Where is that, you know, really powerful space to just step out on those limbs and be who you are come from for who you've been?
There's sort of a two-part way to answer that. One is that once you're ever rewarded, this is like all human behavior, right? Like once you're rewarded for something, someone goes, "Oh, Rick's kind of funny." So then, you know, and I like being around Rick because he's funny. Well, then you're going to be funnier. Like you're going to work at that. You know, whatever you are that someone rewards, that's what we tend to pay our attention to in all parts of our life. You know, some guy you like, you know, he likes the fact that you're kind of, you know, buff or whatever. Then you suddenly, all right, well, I guess I'll do the gym some more. You know, this is how we do it. So part of it was that I was rewarded a lot for. You know, as I would try doing something kind of weird as it applied to business or something, the reward would come back in some way. And it might not be money. It might be, you know, wow, that, you know, that Brogan's really trying something new. I'm going to give him more of my attention. And then I got so much attention. I was like, oh, I must be on to something. And I sort of self-fulfilled that prophecy. So that's part one. Part two is not being afraid to fail. So Tony Robbins had this thing from a long, long time ago. Instead of failure, think about it as an outcome you didn't intend or expect. So you just change that phrasing. I didn't fail. It's just an outcome I didn't intend or expect. That's a lot more psychologically freeing. And so if you say, oh, I'm going to try this new venture, and it falls on its head, and you're like, oh, well, okay, I guess that's not how to do it. I'll try something new. If you can live in that mindset, instead of being paranoid or terrified that you know your one first bad move and everything will explode around you, you can get a lot more done. So what I always tell people is that the vast measure of my success is mostly based on the fact that I've tried and failed 100 times to get that one win, whereas you're still thinking about whether or not to do number one.
That's powerful. And I think so many people I know in my work, working with people who are coming out, the first place they go is, this is going to cause me to fail. Really, this is going to cause you to fail, but yet this is such an inherent part of who you are. If you stand firmly in your understanding and belief that you were born this way, so being born this way is going to cause you to fail. When I actually start to help them break that down and look at it from that perspective, they start to get it. It's like, oh, wait, this isn't failing. This is me being who I am. The failure may come in how I deliver the message to people or how I choose to act once I say this is who I am. If I, you know, become this raging, you know, lunatic about advocacy and all this, and people are like, okay, you're great. That's who you are. But man, you're way out there. Maybe those will be considered failures. But the thing is, the failure is only in your own mind. It isn't coming from anywhere else. Yeah, other people tell you failed. You know, I remember hearing the words from my family, oh, you've really failed us by, you know, choosing this path. Okay, well, that was their version of failure. It wasn't mine, you know. But I love the piece that you just shared about, you know, the failing 100 times to get to where you're going. If we don't try these things, we'll never know. And it's part of the routine I put people through as they're coming out. I want them to have conversations with themselves first and then start to, you know, drop the conversations into play with different people of how they come out. Because each person's going to have unique ways that they can communicate this stuff to one another to help them truly get through those doorways in a way that makes them most comfortable. So, all right. Absolutely. So to wrap up every podcast, the one question I ask that kind of brings it all home is, you know, if you were speaking with a group of entrepreneurs or anybody in your life, anybody that kind of pops into your world, it could be the guy on the street and they were struggling to come out of something. Something that for them was like that big life-changing moment, just like coming out of the closet to say, this is my sexual orientation, this is who I am. If you could give a piece of advice to someone coming out of something, what would that piece of advice be?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, no matter where you landed, just keep aiming at the goal that you really have and really asking yourself repeatedly, what's the real intention here? I was thinking about the fact that a lot of times what we look at as failure when we come out, like when other people around us, you know, have some sort of an opinion about it or whatever, is actually just sort of a shaking out of other people's beliefs about us, which we don't get to control anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's no failure. If you have 10 friends at work and 7 of your friends at work decide they're not going to talk to you anymore, then they were the wrong 7 friends. Like, you know, that's not you, that's them. And so I just think that, you know, what I say is just keep your eyes on what the real goal is and what it really means to you, because sometimes we accidentally pursue a path, not a goal, meaning we think you have to go this way to get there as opposed to go any way to get there. And then the second is just, you know, anything that shakes out isn't a failure. Anything that shakes out is something that probably shouldn't have been.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny. It's almost like you're saying the exact same words I felt like I was just being channeled that I would say to someone in my practice of, you know, some of these people are going to embrace you, some people aren't. And the ones who aren't, they weren't meant to be in your life to begin with, not at least in your life in the way that you need them to be. And you may find that they're not meant to be in your life, period. This is when the true colors, so to speak, start showing up. So awesome stuff, man. So, hey, buddy, I so appreciate you taking time out of your wonderful busy life schedule to just come and join us on the Coming Out Lounge today. I really appreciate it, man.
You're a good man. Thanks for having me on. And I always enjoy being in your company, but thanks for sharing me with the people that you spend your time with.
Hey, I so appreciate it. And if you listeners have appreciated this conversation that I've had with one of the most kick-ass human beings on the planet Earth, give us some love over at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all those great places where you're getting your dose of the Coming Out Lounge. And of course, if you're a flap flap tweet tweet sort of person, give us some love on Twitter. And I guess that's kind of where we're going to wrap it up today. So just remember, always go out there and step out, step up, and step in to living your powerful truth, being you as only you can be. I'm Rick Clemons, the host of the Coming Out Lounge, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemons. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.